Here's something that most leaders don't want to admit. Loneliness doesn't just happen to people working alone. It can happen right in the middle of a busy, fast-paced team. You can be surrounded by colleagues, buried in group projects, and still feel completely disconnected. And when it happens, it's dangerous. Loneliness eats away at morale, kills collaboration, and turns even your most capable people into quiet quitters. In today's episode of Ignoring the Rules, I want to break down how this isolation creeps into teams, why it's often invisible to managers, and most importantly, how to fix it before it crashes engagement and performance. Because if your team members feel alone while surrounded by people, you're not running a team, you're running a collection of strangers. Carla was a project manager with a talented group of professionals. And on paper, everything looked great. The work was getting done, deadlines were met, and her team seemed busy and engaged. But she had a nagging feeling that something wasn't right. It started with small things. In meetings, a few team members rarely spoke unless directly called on. During breaks, they sat alone or buried themselves in their phones. Collaboration requests were met with polite but distant responses. And despite being in a team meeting, Carla sensed that these people were alone. So she dug deeper. She had one-on-one conversations, not about tasks, but about how they were feeling on the team. And the truth came out fast. One member felt invisible, convinced nobody noticed their contributions. Another said they didn't have any real connections on the team, just surface-level work interactions. And a third admitted they felt intimidated speaking up and didn't think their ideas mattered. Well, Carla realized she had a problem. Her team wasn't just disconnected. They were lonely. And loneliness was silently draining their energy and motivation. And so, she decided to fix it. First, she paired people who rarely interacted on small, low-pressure projects so they could get to know each other. She started meetings with quick, non-work icebreakers so personalities, not just job titles, could come through. She made a point to highlight every person's contributions publicly, making sure no one felt overlooked. And she encouraged team lunches, coffee chats, and shared wins that went beyond the office walls. Now, to be honest, the change didn't happen overnight, but slowly those quiet, withdrawn members started speaking up more. Jokes and casual conversation returned, collaboration felt easier, and by the end of the quarter, Carla noticed something important. Her team wasn't just producing work. They were enjoying being a team. Her takeaway? Loneliness doesn't always look like sadness. Sometimes it hides behind a smile and a full calendar. And it's a manager's job to make sure no one on their team feels invisible. So what do we do? How do we find hidden loneliness on a team? Well, let's walk through some of those items. First of all, watch for behavioral clues. Team members who rarely speak unless called on, sitting alone during breaks or avoiding social spaces, minimal participation in group discussions or brainstorming, and always communicating through email or chat, even when face-to-face is possible. Also, you need to look for engagement gaps. What's that? Well, missing or minimal contributions in collaborative projects, or consistently volunteering for solo work instead of group tasks, and declining invitations for team events or informal gatherings. And you need to listen for self-perception signals. If there are comments like, I'm just here to get my work done, or downplaying their own contributions, or hesitation or deflection when asked for opinion or ideas. So you want to create intentional one-on-one time with each person. Ask open-ended questions about their experience on the team, not just about the tasks. Show genuine curiosity about their ideas and input. And listen without rushing to respond or redirect the conversation. Because the goal here is you want to build bridges, not just assignments. So, you could pair quieter members with others they don't usually work with. Doesn't always work out, but you can keep trying different combinations to see what works. And also rotate collaboration partners so no one is stuck with the same group dynamic. And assign short, low-pressure projects to encourage easy wins together. Then you want to recognize contributions publicly. You want to highlight individual wins in team meetings and emails, and make sure every team member hears how their work impacts the big picture. And if you have some social connection issues, you want to begin meetings with light, personal icebreakers. Tell a story about yourself or something. And encourage casual team interactions. If you're in person, you want to encourage casual team interactions with lunches, coffee chats, or walk and talks. And you want to celebrate milestones, work-related and personal, as a team. Someone got married, someone had a child. All those to be celebrated. And then you want to follow up. Revisit the conversation periodically to see if their sense of connection has improved. You want to keep building trust so people feel safe opening up when struggling. So loneliness on your team isn't just bad luck. A lot of it has to do with bad leadership. If someone feels invisible while surrounded by their coworkers, it's partly on you. Some people are just quiet, but you have a part to play as a manager. Your job isn't just to hit deadlines. It's to build a team where people feel like they belong. Because here's the truth. A disconnected team can still get work done, but they'll never give you the best work. So fix it. Find the quiet ones. Pull them in. Make it impossible for anyone to feel like they're on the outside looking in. Because you want a team that wins, start by making no one feels alone in the fight. So what are some checklist items that we can do to spot loneliness? Well, first of all, you want to observe. Watch the body language. Slouch posture, avoiding eye contact, sitting at the edge of groups. And you want to note interaction patterns. Who they talk to on a regular basis or don't talk at all, which is even worse. And see who's missing. See who's not participating in informal chats or breaks or celebrations or something online. Then there are participation cues. For example, they rarely speak unless prompted to in meeting. They give very short answers or stick strictly to work topics. Or they hesitate before volunteering opinions or suggestions. And you want to monitor the work choices. Do they regularly select solo projects over team assignments? Or do they avoid opportunities that involve collaboration? And do they prefer communication through email or chat when they could do face-to-face? And the patterns in engagement, you want to watch for that. Are they consistently absent from optional team events or declining energy and enthusiasm during group activities? Or they don't celebrate wins with the group, even when directly involved. Now, you can't fix it quickly, but you need to approach with subtlety. Use casual low-pressure settings, like walking to get coffee or chatting after a meeting if you're in person. And you want to start with open-ended questions. How's everything going for you on the team? Or what's been working well for you lately? And this is really important, and it's hard for all of us who are managers. Listen more than you speak. Let them set the pace and the depth of the conversation. And you want to test connections gradually. You want to pair them with different teammates on small, low-stress projects. You want to invite them to join team activities without making it mandatory. You want to gently acknowledge their contributions in public so they feel seen without being singled out. Then, but this is really important, be very careful. You want to respect boundaries. If they seem uncomfortable talking about something, give them space. But keep the door open for future conversations and focus on creating a more inclusive team environment rather than pressuring them to be more social. That's the worst thing you can do, is command them to be more social. Make it clear that you value them as they are while offering opportunities for connection. So here's the manager's soft touch action plan. You start with a quiet inclusion. Invite them to small group activities and position it as a natural part of work and not a special social invite. Avoid big high energy events at the start, because to many people they can be overwhelming. The second item is use the work as a bridge. Assign team members to a collaborative task with just one or two other people, not a whole group. And choose teammates who are positive, approachable, and good at making others feel valuable. And make the task achievable so they can early win together. And you want to give recognition without any pressure. Publicly acknowledge their contributions as a matter of fact. Hey, Alex's insights really helped solve that issue. And this is where I've gone wrong at times. You want to avoid over-the-top praise that puts them in the spotlight, because quite frankly, they may retreat. You want to mix recognition into normal conversation so it feels natural. So then start meetings with a light, non-work icebreakers everyone answers, something low stakes like weekend plans or some quick poll. Rotate project pairings regularly so they naturally interact with more people, and introduce them casually in conversations. Hey, you should connect with Sam. He's working on something similar. And you want to keep the check-ins casual, not this big formal thing. Use the one-on-one time for a light relationship building, and this is not an interrogation. You want to ask open-ended questions about their work experience and about their personal life, but be careful there, only if they volunteer it. And reinforce that your door is open anytime they need help or ideas. And then start tracking these positive shifts. You want to watch for more participation in discussions, more interaction with teammates, or volunteering for group work. You want to celebrate these shifts privately with them so they know you've noticed without adding public pressure. You want to avoid making them the face of a project or forcing large presentations early on. You don't single them out as the quiet one. And don't mention it in public, whatever you do. It just reinforces the isolation that you're trying to break. Let their involvement grow at their pace. Your goal is steady connection, not instant transformation. Now, here's how we change the mindset. And it starts with this message. Loneliness isn't just a character flaw. It's a workplace condition. It's as real as stress, fatigue, or overwork. And just like those issues, it can be solved. What can we do? Well, we start out with normalizing the conversation. Talk openly about how isolation can happen, even in the best of teams. Let people know it's common and nothing to be ashamed of. And share your own experiences. All of us have felt disconnected at work. Say so. It humanizes you, and it shows vulnerability is safe. Focus on systems, not personalities. Make it clear you're addressing team dynamics, not fixing someone's personality. You want to offer concrete support. Pair them with approachable teammates, build more low-pressure collaboration, and ensure their contributions are seen, and then when they engage more, acknowledge it privately to reinforce their confidence. Because when leaders make it safe to admit loneliness, it stops being a silent weight that employees carry alone. It becomes a challenge that everyone can solve. So let's be clear. Solving loneliness on a team isn't just about making people feel good. It's a hardcore business move with a big return on investment. When an employee feels lonely, their engagement drops. They stop speaking in meetings. They stop volunteering for stretch projects. They stop contributing their best ideas because they don't feel part of the group. And over time, that lack of connection becomes the lack of contribution. Now, flip that around. When a leader takes the time to identify loneliness and fix it, something powerful happens. What? Well, productivity rises. Connected employees work harder and smarter because they feel like their work matters and their voice counts. Collaboration improves. When people feel included, they're more willing to share information, ask for help, and work cross-functionally without turf wars. And innovation increases. The best ideas come from open exchange. If someone feels shut out, they keep ideas to themselves. When they feel valued, they share, and the whole team benefits. And turnover drops. People leave when they feel unseen and underappreciated. Solving loneliness can build loyalty, which saves you that massive cost of replacing talent. And morale soars. When people enjoy working with each other, they bring more energy to the table. And trust me, that enthusiasm spreads across the team. So focusing on connection also strengthens team resilience. In high-pressure moments, connected teams have trust to fall back on. They pull together instead of splintering apart. And in today's fast-changing world, that cohesion is a competitive advantage most companies overlook. So why is this so important? Because your company's greatest resource isn't its technology, its processes, or even its strategy. It's the people executing it every day. And if those people feel like they're working alone in a crowd, then you're wasting that resource. Because here's the blunt truth. Lonely employees get the job done. Connected employees blow the doors off the job. If you want the latter, and you should, make solving loneliness a top priority, not just for their sake, but for the sake of your bottom line. So let's take a look at the numbers. It's fine to talk in generalities, but here are some numbers. A Gallup workplace study found that disengaged employees, many due to lack of connection, deliver significantly lower input compared to engaged peers. In numbers, 12% productivity loss. According to BetterUp Research, employees who feel lonely at work are twice as likely to leave within a year. And SHRM estimates that U.S. companies lose nearly $1 trillion annually to turnover. The number came out to $960 billion, much of it tied to low engagement and lack of belonging. Gallup found that teams with strong connection and engagement deliver over 20% more profit compared to disconnected teams. And Cigna's Loneliness Index showed lonely employees report higher stress and take more sick days, hitting productivity and increasing costs. And research in the Harvard Business Review found employees who feel a strong sense of belonging are 3.5 times more likely to contribute innovative ideas. These aren't soft feel-good stats. They're bottom-line numbers. Every lonely employee is a hidden drain on performance. And every connected employee is a performance multiplier. If you're ignoring loneliness, you're leaving productivity, innovation, and profit on the table. And in today's economy, that's not just careless. It's a competitive disadvantage. So loneliness at work isn't just sad. It's expensive. Disconnected employees are twice as likely to quit. They can cost you up to 12% in lost productivity, can bleed the company into billions in turnover and burnout. Ignore it. You're not just losing people. You're losing profit. So in this episode of Ignoring the Rules, I took a look at a problem most leaders overlook: loneliness on the team. We've exposed how it can happen even in the busiest workplaces, why management often ignores it, and the real damage it does to performance. I shared Carla's story about spotting hidden loneliness and the checklist for identifying it without being pushy, and the soft touch action plan to bring people back into the fold. And we dug into why employees often see loneliness as a weakness, how leaders can reframe it as a legitimate workplace issue, and the huge business payoff that comes from solving it. Plus, we backed it all with the hard stats to prove that connection isn't just nice to have. It's a competitive advantage. So here's the bottom line. Loneliness on a team isn't just an emotional issue. It's performance. When you solve it, you unlock more productivity, more innovation, and more loyalty than you ever thought possible. Hey, if today's episode gave you ideas, share it with a friend, a fellow manager, or your whole team. Because the more leaders and teams understand this, the stronger and more connected our workplaces become. And this is just the beginning. In upcoming episodes of Ignoring the Rules, I'm going to go after more hidden problems that drain performance and the bold, people-first solutions that actually work. So subscribe, stay tuned, and bring someone with you next time, because we're going to have a good discussion. Building great teams isn't just about ignoring the wrong rules. It's about rewriting the right ones.